2 Corinthians chapter 12. Some time ago, I recorded a podcast on our inability versus God's ability, and today I'm expanding upon that quite a bit. Because usually the podcasts are somewhere around 10 minutes or so, and I don't know, today maybe around 30, I don't know. But just kind of expanding upon that a little bit. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, and again, we're looking at our inability versus God's ability. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for this time in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing tonight. I just ask you, Lord, as your word is open, just to lead and guide, ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. And I hope tonight that we'll be encouraged tonight as we somewhat look less at our inability and focus more on your ability. And just trust, Lord, that it'll be a help to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this tonight, one of the characters we're going to look at is Jeremiah. And yes, Jeremiah had a call on his life. And, you know, you may not have a particular call upon your life that may extend throughout your entire life. But sometimes the Lord may just call us to go across the street or maybe call us to be a witness to somebody at work. The callings of God, they can be anything. Really, it may not be a call to preach or a call to the mission field, something like that, but God calls us to things all the time, so I hope it'll be a help to you. But we often face situations where we not only feel weak, weak physically, emotionally, spiritually, but we'll also face times where we feel inadequate. We're going to feel like we're not smart enough, or maybe we're not experienced enough, or maybe we're not skilled enough. At times, we're going to feel powerless in that call that the Lord has placed upon us, maybe powerless against sin or powerless against temptation. But in short of it all, the calling of God can be difficult at times. Many of those who were greatly used of God in the Bible struggled with the weight of God's call. They struggled with the clarity of God's call under the weight that is associated with God's call. And I dare say that they all struggled with their inability. Now, how many times does God say we are able and we state our inability to him? And tonight we're going to look to the scriptures at some people who recognized their inability, but they allowed God to use them. And first off, we're looking at Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So God had a message for the prophet Jeremiah. God had a calling for Jeremiah. And when the calling of God was presented to Jeremiah by God, Jeremiah was in a place of disagreement. Jeremiah argues, essentially. Jeremiah says, for I am a child. And you know, God not only calls children to be saved, but God also calls children to the ministry. A friend of mine who's been used quite a bit by the Lord, more than many, was saved at 4, called to preach at 9. He preached his first sermon at 11, and has been preaching ever since. I think about Bob Jones Sr., Bob Jones Sr. was called to preach at a young, saved at a young age, called to preach at a young age. He was a youth pastor by probably about 14 or 15 or so, and he started his first church outside, and I think they called it a brush arbor or something like that when he was 18. Started his first church, so he and just served God his entire life. But God saves children, God calls children, and God uses children. And God finds Jeremiah when he's just a child and presents this child with a mission. But the response of Jeremiah was, I'm a child. And I ask you something tonight. Was Jeremiah wrong in his assessment? No, he was a child. He was right about that. He was a child. Now, I've come to find in my own life that when God calls, we're usually right in our assessment of why we can't. But where we get it wrong is trying to use why we can't as an excuse to not obey. The Lord says, say not, I am a child. You know, one of the first steps to kicking self-defeating thoughts to the curb is to quit reciting them. What we recite over and over in our minds is what we will believe. It will then shape our behaviors. We have to quit reciting our excuses of why we cannot be used of the Lord. Jeremiah thought he was too young. God said he wasn't. So the Lord wanted Jeremiah to quit saying it. God knew that Jeremiah couldn't do it alone, as it was outside of Jeremiah. And God calls us to things that we would need him for in order to come through on. I've seen God call many men and women to serve in an area of their self-proclaimed weakness. I consider myself one. God called me to preach when I wasn't a public speaker. God called me to Bible college when I was not a public speaker. The Lord opened up the door for me to preach my first sermon when I wasn't a public speaker. The Lord has called me in many areas that I'm weak in to do something for him. But why is that? If God called us to do something that we were already strong at, we wouldn't need him. We would say, I can do it without you. And God calls men and women who will need him. See, you and I, when we look for help, we look for people who can take it and run with it and not need us. If you need a new roof, you aren't hiring someone that's going to knock on your door every 10 minutes and ask you how to do it and when to do it. We hire people to accomplish tasks with minimal direction, minimal assistance. That's the most help to us. But God doesn't work that way. God doesn't call us to do anything for him while he sits up on the throne in heaven watching us work. He calls us to allow him to perform that calling through us. God looks for the underqualified. He looks for the underprivileged. He looks for the underequipped. But why is that? Because he knows that what the individual considers to be their disadvantage is actually their advantage. Because they must allow God to work through them. Jeremiah felt inadequate for God's call. He felt too young. Was he young? Yeah, he was young. But the Lord had a different mind about it. He felt too inexperienced. Was he inexperienced? Yeah, he was inexperienced, but God had a different mind about it. I think about even Moses. Noah. Nobody had built an ark before. Noah had never built an ark before. I think about all throughout the pages of Scripture, you get on-the-job training. On-the-job training. You might be the first to do it. Sometimes my heart goes out to Adam and Eve just because they had no marriages before them. They had no marriages before them to even look at. They had no example of what a father was, what a mother was in the flesh ahead of them to learn from. There's so many things throughout the Bible that, you know what? The Lord put people in situations that we might not would put people in. But the Lord knows what he's doing. God assured Jeremiah that, yeah, you're young and yeah, you're inexperienced, but I'll be with you. We see the Lord's response to Jeremiah, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver these, saith the Lord. Several things make this calling easier for Jeremiah. The first one is found in the passage here. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee. Now, this is a big help for Jeremiah. Jeremiah isn't having to come up with where he's going to go his whole life. That would be a huge weight. If you had to come up with where you're going from day to day. The Lord's telling Jeremiah, you'll go where I send you. I'm in control of where you go. figuring out where you go all your days is not for you to worry about. Notice another big help. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So Jeremiah also isn't having to come up with what to say. The Lord's telling Jeremiah, you'll say what I tell you to say. The Lord's essentially saying, I'm in control of what you say. So what you say all your days is not for you to worry about. So the Lord was worrying about where Jeremiah would go and then what he would say. Another big help is this, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. When you stand before people, and it's not just preachers, but when you stand before people, maybe you're standing face to face with a family member or with a coworker, a neighbor. But when you stand before people as God's representative, with God's message, at times you'll have mixed reviews. And people will oftentimes, without thinking, usually reveal their review through their facial expressions. There's a facial expression for pleasure. There's one for excitement. There's one for agreement. Then there are lack of expressions, maybe. Some expressions can strike a little fear or maybe anxiety in the one that is the representative of God speaking his message. It's not happened here, but I've had to preach through angry expressions. Just complete contempt and disdain for the message in myself. It's hard to do, but I've done it. I've sat, and I've preached, and I've seen arms crossed, scowls at me throughout the whole time, eye-to-eye contact with me, the entire message just locked in. It's hard to preach. It is, but you do it. And then after a while, I just say, I ain't looking at you no more. I ain't even going to look your way no more. And you know what? I have seen the Lord deliver me from those bad spirits, usually by the Lord removing them. So the Lord was seeking to comfort Jeremiah, that he would deliver him from the faces. So don't be afraid of them. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. It's not within us to jump at every opportunity to overcome fear. It's just not. Usually we cater to our fears, if we're honest. If we're afraid, then typically sometimes we don't face it. We just want to run from it, even if it's a good thing for us to do. I think oftentimes even with my kids, I try to teach my kids to overcome fear. I want them to be wise. I want them to be smart about things. But I don't want them as young men to grow up into grown men and just be fearful about everything. That's not my goal. There are times where if they're afraid of something and I know that it's something that won't hurt them, I make them do it. So you will be okay. Again, I'm trying to raise men who fear less rather than men who fear more. And the Lord was telling Jeremiah not to fear people. And you know what? There's all kinds of good things that we don't do just out of fear. There's all kinds of things that the Lord may call us to do that we shy away from because we're afraid. Now, if I knew I was getting ready to face a bear, I'd feel a whole lot better knowing that I was going to be delivered from it in advance. And Jeremiah's finding out, even though he don't know. Now partially, I'd be a little bit nervous. Just in the fact that the Lord said, be not afraid of their faces. That would tell me a little bit that there's a little bit of caution out there ahead. But then you see on the backside of it that you're going to be delivered from it. Let's look at Moses as we continue Exodus 4, verse 10 through 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am of slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now Moses says here that he was of slow speech and of a slow tongue. Have you ever spoken with somebody that just slow speech, slow tongue? It was like that. It's not that way as much anymore where I'm from in Louisiana, out in the sticks. But it was that way growing up. It was real slow. Real slow. Speech real slow. And I'm not trying to be derogatory or anything about it, because I used to be one of them. Real slow in speech. Take three words, combine them into one. That was me. Bible college really helped me. It did. When I hear you laughing from the sound booth. But it really did help me. And all the writing that I had to do and all the talking that I had to do, and probably even living up north, because up north they're very proper in their speech. And they pronounce all the syllables and all the words. Our T's get lost at the end of our words, and our D's get lost at the end of our words. Not up there. They sound out every single one of them when they talk. And if you don't, where are you from? They won't know where you're from. Because you're not from there. You're not from the suburbs. And But you've spoken with people who are slow tongue, slow of speech. I'm sure Moses was maybe a little self-conscious. But the Lord had a message for Moses. Moses knew he wasn't eloquent. Moses basically says, upon the calling of God, I'm not eloquent. I wasn't back then. I'm not now. Nothing's changed. Couldn't talk well before. Can't talk well now. Maybe Moses was backwoods. I don't know. Maybe wilderness. I can't help but think an eloquent man would have had a harder time in the wilderness with the children of God. It's an important thing to note that not every individual would do well and thrive in every environment. Moses wouldn't have thrived maybe in a big city environment, but he thrived in the wilderness. Moses was at least to some degree of the mind that what God had for him would perhaps be for someone else who had a better sense of eloquence, who talked a little quicker, maybe. On the surface, I would agree. Egypt wasn't wilderness. Egypt was wealthy. Pharaoh was wealthy. Pharaoh's palace was a big to-do. Moses felt inferior. He felt beneath the calling, beneath the job, which in many ways is a good feeling. I worry about people from the get-go who have the mindset to watch me. One of my favorite quotes from D.L. Moody is this: Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, talking about Egypt, 40 years learning he was nobody, talking about in the wilderness, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. And I tell you today, if you think you're special and you're doing God some big favor because of whatever it is that you do, then you have the wrong idea entirely. And you've not even begun to be used of God, even if what you say is in service to Him. Because God resists the proud, and it's the goal of God to sing through you, to teach through you, to preach through you. His goal is to live His life through you and I. We've got to kick this idea that we got this to the curb and admit that we don't got this. We're serving the one who has it. And Moses tried. He tried to resist God's call because of his perceived limitations. And you know what? Again, just like Jeremiah, Moses had the right assessment. He was slow of speech. He was slow of tongue. But where he got it wrong in his thinking was for a little bit he was losing sight of the fact that God could overcome that. When we think about the disciples in Matthew 16 and verse 24, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying self is hard. It is. It's something that we have to daily do. Dying daily. And there's stuff, honestly, that the Lord places out in front of me all the time. And it takes a dying and a process of dying in order to come through on. It took me a while to resurrender my life to preach. It took me a little bit. That was not instantaneous. When I got out of the Marines, yeah, I got right back into church. And started working on my walk with God. But it took me a bit to resurrender my life to the Lord to preach. It took a little bit. There was things that I had believed prior to the Marines that ultimately, influenced me to run from the Lord. And, those things come back. And like I told y'all before, but not only was it those things that were there that I was believing prior to the Marines, but then I also had the way I was living when I was away from the Lord to add to that list of why I felt as though I was unworthy to preach God's word. It's a process of dying. I encourage you tonight, even if there's something that the Lord's calling you to do, you believe the Lord would have you to do it, and it could be a little thing in the grand scheme of things in your mind, but I don't believe any of God's callings are small. Whatever it is that God would have you to do, it's big because of who it came from. Whatever it is that God would have you to do, I just encourage you, just one step at a time, commit to the process of dying to self. And, and one day you'll come through on it. It's just one step at a time. Just surrender one step at a time. Dying to self's hard. Up next to Christ, you die to your wants, you die to your desires, you die to your plans. But it's amazing how the Lord changes your wants. He changes your desires. He changes your plans. When I got out of the Marines, I wanted to get back into law enforcement, and it's amazing. I had several, one of them was even a mayor, who told me of the hometown I grew up in. He said, hey, when you get out of the Marines, come see me. I got a job waiting on you. And I get out of the Marines, and I started trying to get a hold of the mayor by getting that job. He won't even talk to me. You see, but the Lord had a plan. There was a reason that mayor wasn't talking to me. He had talked to me. He had talked to me just about every time I'd come home. I'd see him and he'd talk to me. When you get out, come see me. I got a job for you. I go knock on that door again after the Marines. I go knock on that door. I'm ready to go. Get back in law enforcement. The Lord wouldn't let that door open. But it's amazing. Even throughout Bible college at times, I was battling that. I was thinking, man, well, I could get into law enforcement and then I could also be in Bible college. But no, that's two different things, two different mindsets, and things like that. And I would go back and forth with that in my mind, even in Bible college. I could work that job and do Bible college and stuff like that, but it never would have worked. But then it's the most amazing thing how, the Lord literally opened up the door when I was in Mansfield at Caesarea for me to be a chaplain with the local police department there. So just to be able to, in the Lord's capacity, to be close to law enforcement in that way, to me, it was the Lord's blessing. In those ways. But I mean, it's amazing how when you die to your wants, your desires, your plans, the Lord ends up giving you new desires and new plans and new wants. And then you look back to where you was and what you used to want and what you used to desire and what your plans used to be. And it don't even matter anymore. None of it matters. Jesus made it clear to his disciples that following him would require sacrifice, that it would require self-denial. It is a difficult path to surrender your life and to follow the Lord. It is a difficult path. It's not an easy one, but it leads to rewards on this earth, which is something we need to focus on more, the rewards on this earth. Sometimes we put all the emphasis on eternal rewards. And yes, there are eternal rewards, and the eternal rewards will far outweigh the rewards that we'll ever see on this earth. But there are enough rewards here on this earth for being in service to God to make it appealing. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9, you're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And you think about this world. The world only experiences one side of this. They're troubled. They're also distressed. They're perplexed. They're also in despair. They're persecuted. They're also forsaken. And they're cast down, and they'll also be destroyed. But again, for the believer, troubled on every side, but we're not distressed as a result. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And we're cast down, but we ain't destroyed. Paul writes honestly about the hardships of the call to ministry. And I do think that's a good thing. I don't know that we should necessarily try and scare people out of the ministry. But I think we should be honest. When I have the opportunity to preach at a Bible college or a seminary, always take the opportunity to be honest with the preachers. I'm supposed to be preaching chapel at some point coming up at Norris, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be honest with the preachers. And sometimes it might even be a message, something similar to this, about the Lord's calling on your life. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have challenges. But just reminding them that the Lord's always faithful and He goes out ahead of you. And then He'll be there with you. And then He's working behind you after you've been there. That's one thing, too, that we don't often think about. Even when it comes to evangelism, I've tried to encourage folks about this. At some point, we're going to get out into the community. And you know what? You pray ahead of time that the Lord go to those places that you're going to go to that week ahead of time and do a work before you get there. And then you're trusting the Lord to do a work in you while you're there ministering to them. And then after you're gone, you're trusting that the Lord's going to do a work with what was done while you were there. And we know the Lord is capable of that. And we know He's done that time and time and time again. There was somebody came through RU one day. We gave him a tract to RU, and he put it on his desk. And and a year later, he comes into RU one Friday night, and he said, "Y'all gave me a tract a year ago, and an invite to RU." He said, "I put it on my desk, and I never saw it again." Then in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you're not at that desk too often. But that's beside the point. But he put it on his desk, and then he never saw it again. And then he said, and I opened the window one day, and the wind blew the track off into the floor. He said, and I bent down and picked it up, and I said, "Oh, yeah." And then he came to RU that Friday night, and it was a year later. It was a year later. And, the Lord's got a way of doing that. And, like I said, I'm looking forward to being able to have those type of testimonies and things here and seeing the Lord work in that way. And we are getting there. But, you know, the call of God is sometimes hard. It's not always easy. But the Lord never calls us without equipping us. He's going to equip us. He's going to equip us for what he's called us to. He's also going to be the one that helps sustain us, because there's going to be times we just don't want to get up. There's going to be times we don't want to do it. Whatever it is, what the Lord has called us to do, we're just going to have those times, those moments, those days where we say, I'm not feeling this right now. And it's the Lord that sustains us. But we got to trust in him. We got to walk with him. Be reminded that the Lord's with us.